Good morning. And once again, it is good to be home. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this morning at 9 a.m., if you are interested, my household certainly is, the championship game of the Women's World Cup began. Could be over, might not be. I don't know. I have to tell you, I've been disciplined to not check any score, even during the liturgy. But it was a temptation in the beginning. But if there's one thing about this game, or about these series of games, oftentimes in the spotlight has not been the play, has not been the competition, has not been the backstories of the teams, but rather the officiating. And again, if you've been following it, you've heard a lot about the officials at this year's tournament. A lot of new rules were thrust upon them only hours before the first game began. And so these women of FIFA had to do a lot of catching up and had to do it very quickly. Officiating is very difficult. I can say, or rather admit, that I've been on the sidelines for a long time. All four of our kids engaged in sports at some level. And haven't always agreed. Lord knows I haven't always agreed with what the officials have done. But until I actually went through the training and I actually began to work as a soccer official myself, you don't realize what is going on, how difficult it is. What may seem plain and obvious to you because it involves your kid may be very different to the actual rules of the game or what the official sees. It's very challenging. It's very hard to do. I read something just a couple days ago that was actually very sad, and it explains, at least I think in a little microscopic way, about society today, where we're headed and what's happening to our demeanor collectively through this one little statistic. And that statistic is this, that there are fewer and fewer officials that are available for youth sporting events. That's all events. Football, basketball, soccer, lacrosse, whatever your little son or daughter is choosing to play, it's harder and harder to find officials because 58% of officials that were polled that are involved in youth sports through their national organization, almost 60% feel that their life is in danger when they step out onto the field, the court, or the pitch. So let me say that again. 60% of people that either wear the stripes or wear the blue for your kids' games feel like it is dangerous for them to be there because of the demeanor of the coaches, because of the demeanor of the parents, and even the way the children are beginning to act. So that's something very, very sad about today's society. That even the stress that we hold as adults and the anxiety that produces and the bad behavior that can come and stem from it filters down even to our little ones. And a place that should be their haven, should be their place to relax and an opportunity for everyone to enjoy. A sporting event for a child is seen as dangerous to the official. St. Anatoly of Optina had once written that wherever God is, there is peace. And the opposite is self-evident. Where there is envy, enmity, impatience, and self-love, there is the devil. And where the devil is, there is everything is ruin, pride, stress, and hostility. Where God is, there is peace. Where Satan reigns, there is anxiety, enmity, and stress. Now, stress itself is not a word that is mentioned anywhere in the Bible specifically. But oftentimes in the scriptures we hear about what? Anxiety, worry, burdens. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Jesus Christ in His earthly days of walking this world and ministering unto the faithful has opportunities like we hear about today, in today's gospel. That the anxieties and the worries and the burdens of the day could supersede our peace. It could take over our calmness. In fact, our stresses and our anxieties can replace God in our lives. It can happen pretty easily, actually, and very quickly. If we're caught up in the day-to-day activities that we can control and that we can't control, and worry about them and become obsessed about them and try and cram into the reality of things we have no control over into things we wish we could or we desire to have that power, we find ourselves in trouble. And when we find ourselves in trouble, then we find our little kids yelling at their referee, and the coach enraged at the referee, and the parents stomping up and down on the sidelines. Again, it's just a little microcosm, a little slice of what's going on in the world today. The gospel reading today is the par excellence pericope in the New Testament, where God tells us just to chill out. You've got to relax. You've got to not worry about things so much. Look at nature. Look at all that is splendid before us. Look at the balance that is there without any effort or involvement, thank you very much, of the human race. Beauty just happens. Animals being fed just takes place. A natural order of sustaining in this world is designed by God. And if we allow ourselves to just pull back a little bit, again, within realities, we're not going to have our mama bird come and drop in our baby bird mouths a worm. We have to work for everything that we receive in this world, how we're able to clothe and protect and educate our children. We have to work to have that done. That's a product of being expelled from the kingdom, is it not? This is what God promised Adam and Eve, that from that day forward, we would have to sweat and toil and be in pain for that which we receive. But that's different. We know that's a reality. So let's just do it. Let's just take a moment, and that's what today's gospel is about. On a beautiful summer day, this gospel reading usually takes place around this time of year, for us to be able to just relax and let God be God and let us be us. In St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and even repeated it. "Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing." There's that word again. "Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Again, there's St. Paul telling us just to pull back a little bit, let go of those reins and hand them to God. Now, these words of St. Paul may sound maybe disingenuous, maybe a little lofty. Maybe he was writing these from the comfort of his living room. He was in prison when he said this. He wrote this letter from a jail cell, having already been beaten and not knowing if he's going to be beaten again, not knowing if he was going to be facing an executioner the next day. And these are the words of St. Paul on how we can pull back and begin to relax. Christ uses the image of the yoke of two oxen when he says that his yoke is easy and the burden is light. The oxes probably don't even realize that when two of them are connected together, they're doing half the work than they would have. Maybe they know that, I don't know. But we know that, and we know that twice as much can get done if you take two sources of strength and you combine them and you move them in the same direction. And you have a common purpose, and you have a goal at hand. For us, the goal is the kingdom of God, for righteousness, for salvation, for everlasting life. And when we yoke ourselves to Christ our Lord, then that burden becomes light for us. because we're doing it together and we're able to hand things away. We're able to just begin to relax a little bit. So today's stress-relieving gospel lesson for all of us, I think, has some very practical things for us to be able to put into place. The first thing is to do as St. Paul commands us, to rejoice, to not forget to be joyful, to not forget to sing, to not forget to laugh, to not forget to be enjoying the company of others and fellowship of our family and of our friends and of the world around us. Let's remember to rejoice. We have to yield ourselves to God completely. We yield ourselves to God completely. This is the faith that St. Paul illustrated as he was able to write such a joyful proclamation from the inside of a jail cell. Yield ourselves to God completely, not partially. If we're yoked to Him, but the yoke on our end is loose and we slip out of it, He moves on, we stay back because we're only half kind of committed. We're only taking some of ourselves and giving it to Him. We have to give all of ourselves. And He promises then that our burdens are light. Again, we have to pray about such things. If we want the peace of God, if we want salvation in Him, and we want to be comforted by Him, He needs to hear from us. And that's not just coming to church and having the priests and the deacons and the bishops and the chanters and the beautiful choir. Beautiful choir today, wow. That's not to say you're not other days, but it's just inspired today. But we can't let them do the work for all of us in prayer. We have to go home. We have to quiet ourselves. We have to give that time to God, as Paul did, not only in his jail cell, but throughout his journeys. We have to contemplate the promise that Jesus gives us of safe harbor. Not a promise that there are no waves. Not a promise that there will be no white caps on that surface. He gave no such promise. He gave no such promise to Peter as he was sinking, or the disciples as they were frightened in the boat. He does promise, however, that in and through and by Him, that boat, no matter how much of a tumultuous environment it may find itself upon, He will lead us to a safe place. Next, we have to include ourselves in the lives of the saints, invoking their prayer, inviting them, imploring them to pray with and for us, that they take their prayerful message to God on our behalf, and they intercede for us. And lastly, to apply all that we've learned about how to taking away, as Scripture says, the burdens and the anxieties and the worries. Well over 350 times in the Old and the New Testament is contained the phrase, either exactly or inferred, "Fear not. Fear not, for I am with you." If we trust in what Scripture says, if we trust in what God says, if we trust in what His Word has delivered to us, then we will begin to go through this very difficult process of, as the evangelical world says, to let go and to let God. I like that. Sometimes things you can put on a bumper sticker sound pretty good, and they're theologically sound. The lilies of the field are beautiful for a day, then they're cast into the fire. The birds have no worries for what they will wear or what they'll eat or how they'll be cared for. We have to adopt such thoughts. We have to receive such hope. And we have to maintain such trust. And when this happens, our lives become much happier and our youth referees become much safer. And maybe they'll stick around and not leave in droves. Most quit after 2 years. Most. That's because moms and dads are stressed. And we're going to knock it off. Amen.